Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. So I guess we got the storm of storms getting ready to storm upon us here, you know.
Actually, where you are, we've already had all that stuff. You are in the line of fire, but we had ours in western Pennsylvania yesterday and last night. We had a lot of rain, and they were calling for a tornado watch, too.
Well, what they're saying is that rain that you got, I'll probably be driving through today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Back to Pennsylvania. But the rain is sweeping through and then going out to sea, and then it's going to do a U-turn and come back up and go right up the wazoo of the New England states.
Is that called a nor'easter?
It's a nor'easter, yeah.
Well, then you're going to be in for a fun time in good old Boston, Massachusetts.
Not me, because I'll be out of here.
Well, yeah. Better get a move on. Those things, they are.
Well, you know, these nor'easters apparently only come after Easter. I don't know.
No, that's a nor'easter. That's a whole different thing, Bill.
No, no. No, according to Joe, it'd be a nor'easter. But anyway, that's a whole
true.
Different story.
Hey, a lot of things happening. A lot of things happening. I was just reading something before we started the show. We had read something yesterday that there was a health warning, and now I'm looking at another thing we got. It says an urgent health alert has been issued by the CDC and Prevention Bureau as the United States witnesses a sharp increase in the incidences of invasive meningococcal disease. I know it sounds like I'm mispronouncing it, but I think I got it, meningococcal disease. According to CDC, meningococcal disease, it refers to any illness caused by bacteria called, and this will be fun, Neisseria meningitidis.
That's why I keep you along. You get to do the
can
big
you imagine
words.
If I was a doctor? Sir, you have meningitidis. I need a new doctor. Anyway.
Well, what was that disease called again?
Meningococcal? It's called Neisseria meningitidis. That's what it looks like here. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I'd like to meet the clowns who put these names on these diseases. These illnesses are often severe, can be deadly, and include infections of the lining of the brain and spinal cord, meningitis. And,
I got news and for you. Bidenomics can be deadly.
And, that's true. I was going to say that Joe hasn't got any fear because it's dealing with the brain, and I have my doubts as to whether he uses his. So
apparently not, you know.
But, you know, it seems like every day there's some new disease that we have to worry about. Oh, by the way, Bill, speaking of something strange that's going on, I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, but yesterday, 7.5 magnitude earthquake.
In Taiwan.
Now, I know it's the conspiracy theorist in me, but, you know, Taiwan is the center of a lot of attention in the world right now. We're talking about China. They want Taiwan. And
well, why do they want Taiwan?
Well, I mean, maybe it's, well, for one thing, it's the chip manufacturer of the world,
well, yeah, because
semiconductor, yeah.
Yeah, their economy, you know, is hanging on by a shoestring.
Yeah.
Although we're doing everything to help their economy, but ours isn't so great. I mean, you know, if you're wealthy, it's all on paper. There is no real cash here. We're so far in debt, but that's the way it works. You just got to know how to play that game, I guess. Mm-hmm. But either way, with Taiwan and the technology in that chip, you know, China has a chance to continue and reclaim, and because they're on a world, they're on a quest to conquer the world again.
There are some people, I would think, who would look at what's happening with that 7.5 earthquake and think that, and with the possibility that weather can be manipulated, there's a large number of people who believe that the ability to manipulate the weather has been something countries have been working on for decades, and some believe that they can do it now. They can seed clouds and make it rain. They can cause earthquakes. I'm
so
just saying.
So,
you know,
if we can seed clouds, cause rain, and change geographically the weather, then I guess climate change is BS unless it's
manufactured. Well, there are some people, Bill, who believe that. There's, you know, we laugh.
There's an exciting example out in California. Back in the 17, 1800s, you know, and all through, I guess, recorded history, there was a big lake, a natural biggest, one of the biggest in inland freshwater lakes.
People vacation there. People vacation there. It was like a summer resort for people used to go there.
Yeah, there was Pashashi or something like that. The Indian word was big, water.
Yes.
Yeah, it was Indian for big water. It was Tulare Lake. Now, the reality is, in California, in their wisdom, people used to say, well, it was the Army Corps of Engineers. I don't know about that back in, you know, the late 1800s. But somewhere around 1889, the land was reclaimed to turn into farmland. Now, I know that because, you know, I grew up out in California and over in Cochrane and places
around
there.
So where did the water go, Bill? So where did the water
It was basically, you know, drained and dried. You know, they just reclaimed the land. They took the land. They did it. But see, there's something that they never talk about. Like there's a story now. The lake has just reclaimed itself since the first time since 1889 or 98 or something like that. And I'm going like, no, that's a lie. Every 40 years, nature, Mother Nature has brought it back. In the 30s, it came back. The 60s, it came back. As a matter of fact, if you remember, I was just a swaddler in a diaper, but the 1969 floods out in California, as a matter of fact, I remember the phone ringing off the wall when I was a kid. Mom, someone's on the phone checking to see if we survived the flood. What flood? Well, Dan Rather on ABC said that California is completely underwater now, you know, and, you know, because of all the torrential rains. And we lived on a hill, and I remember the road down below, you know, the water was straight. It was like a river going down. But Tulare Lake filled up. And then when, you know, the weather cleared, we used to take
there are a number of lakes, in especially in the Southwest, that do that. They say it happens because of underwater caves and stuff like that.
Oh,
and,
yeah, the water seeps in. But there there was more to it than meets the eye, but even in the 80s, the water came back. So, but, you know, that lays to rest. You know, they're talking about all the lands drying up and all of this. Remember, California's got no water and everything. And all of a sudden, the torrential rains came. Mm-hmm. And nature reclaims itself, whether we do it or just the natural process.
Now, that being said, do you know that there is a submarine base that's landlocked in our country?
Which one?
I believe it's in Nevada. It could, but there is a, supposedly, it's accessible underwater. Literally, the subs go under the state of California to get to it. I know it sounds crazy, but check it. Check it online. There is a landlocked submarine base. Now, how do you get submarines
Well, there would have to be. Well, look, they map everything, and if they have the equipment to see without physically seeing if they're going to run into something, so, yeah, they could explore under there.
I mean, it doesn't. I guess what I'm saying is, all is not as it appears to be. But there is a landlocked sub base in the United States. There are some people who have seen video. I have seen video of it. Almost looks like a highway system that goes underground in our country. There's supposedly routes that literally are underground. You drive into a secure area, you bring your truck into like a mountain, and you just keep driving, and you come out you come out hundreds of miles down the road. So I know
you're talking about Walker Lake, right?
No, about the submarine bases?
Nevada, yeah, Walker Lake.
Yeah. I didn't know what that was called, Bill, if you have the name of it there. How do you have a submarine base that's landlocked unless you have access to it with submarines that are not built specifically for that lake? You know what I'm saying? You don't say like, oh, we'd like to build three submarines. One we're going to put in a lake and it'll never see the ocean. No, they have access to it. But anyway, did you check on it? What did it say about Walker Lake, Bill?
Well, no, I'm seeing Walker Lake, but apparently we actually, during the Cold War, the U.S. Could not build secret bases capable of housing some of their assets. And there you go. And there's the picture of it.
Well, I see, if we were doing television, the whole audience could see it.
You would see that. Yes. But right now, he's making that crap.
No. Go online, folks. Go online. And now that we know the name, just do a Google search for Walker Lake. And,
now, you know what? The picture could be anywhere. I'll say that. It could be anywhere. You know, that could be a sub in a cave in Germany. I don't know. But the point is Walker Lake, and I had heard about Walker Lake before. That's why I knew where to go for it, because Walker Lake, there's always been rumors that somehow there was a secret base under there. Now, that means that possibly, you know, depending on the elevation and everything, that lake is fed by, you know, water from somewhere else.
Well, it's interesting. I just do know that there are a lot of things going on in this world that we're not being told the truth about. And this thing in Taiwan, it just seems to be very coincidental that a major earthquake happens on an island that is such a pivotal, point of focus of attention as far as world politics is concerned. It just seems coincidental that Taiwan would be nailed, you know.
Well, Japan's getting ready to get the after effect.
Well, that's true.
After effect with the tsunami.
Tsunamis, yeah.
Yeah, about, 3-meter wave, 9.5 feet, something, 10-foot wave,
yeah.
Let's just say.
Yeah,
I guess doesn't sound like much, but it could be when you have a big, massive amount of water washing in.
That's
and depending
it.
On,
that's
yeah.
exactly right. It doesn't take a lot for water to do a devastating damage. You know, people say, it was only enough water. I could stand up in the water. It's not the fact that you can stand up in it. You have thousands of pounds of pressure pushing against everything. You have debris that it picks up along the way that causes issues. It's not just the water you have to deal with a tsunami. Trump was in, did you hear about this? He was in Green Bay, Wisconsin. By the way, speaking of snow, they got snow in Green Bay yesterday. He had a winter storm.
Yeah. Didn't he do a proclamation? I mean, he wasn't going to be one up by Joe.
He did. As a matter of fact, I'm going to let you hear what he said, Bill.
Right. We are going to save our country. We're going to save our country. And what the hell was Biden thinking when he declared Easter Sunday to be Trans Visibility Day? Such total disrespect to Christians, and November 5th is going to be called something else. You know, it's going to be called Christian Visibility Day, when Christians turn out in numbers that nobody has ever seen before. Let's call it Christian Visibility Day, all right?
You got to love this guy. Christian Visibility Day. Well, what a day. What a marketer he is, huh? I mean, amazing.
Well, you know, they're doing everything they can to sabotage him. You know, the big thing that the Democrats, they're going back to their old calling card. Everything they do is the old playbook, divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. Divide the people. You know, and if you don't believe that we are under attack by our own government, well, here they come again. Well, let's divide the women because, you know, reproductive rights. We will sit there and rewrite the narrative and say that these guys, they don't respect your body. We do, you know, like, you know, 6 weeks or whatever. You don't even have long enough to figure out that you're pregnant and want to keep the baby or not before you can sit there and abort. You should be able to do it after its birth. You know, look, there has to be some kind of, you buy a car. It's got a warranty. It's got an expiration date. There has to be certain limits. Okay, there could be situations where rape, incest, health reasons that abortions make sense. But
not to everybody, not just, Bill. Not to everybody. Huh? Not to every. There are some people who believe that abortion isn't acceptable under any circumstance. And, you know, I have to tell you, I know you're going to think this is the older I get, the more I realize the sanctity of life is absolutely sacrosanct. I mean, life.
Well, who are we to play God?
Well, some people on the other side would say the same thing. Well, you know, people say it's my body, I can do what I want, but
right.
It's not a matter of it being your body. If it were just affecting you, then you could do what you want. But it's not your body we're talking about. It's the body of the unborn child.
But what they want to do is they want to divide the whole thing. There is no, you know, it's a complete attack on society, and it's a campaign. They made it a campaign issue, and it shouldn't be.
I do believe in forgiveness. I do believe that God is a forgiving God. I don't want to sound like I'm doing a homily here, but I do believe that there are a number of women in our society who have had the procedure, abortion, and don't feel good about it. And I would say to them that if you had that experience in your life, and you believe in God, you know God is a loving God. And your the fact that you realize your mistake is enough for God, in my opinion. I believe God forgives you, and I believe that He wouldn't want you to live your life, with this hanging over your head, you know.
Well, that's absolutely true. God forgives and He forgets. He moves on.
Mm-hmm.
We, as a creature of this planet, don't. As a matter of fact, we use it to separate and divide.
Well, I don't think that. I think that's the devil. I do. And I'm speaking of that.
Well, then there's the devil in all of us then, because or the devil in the Democrat.
I found this piece of audio, Bill, this morning. A little nun, you know. Her name is Mother Miriam Mother Miriam of the Lamb, formerly Rosalind Moss.
Doesn't she have a podcast?
Yeah, a Catholic nun who publicly criticized Joe Biden. She called him inept and evil. Here's what she's... Now, I want you to imagine when you're listening to this that you're in a classroom and you have a nun in front of you and she's telling you to sit straight. You know, but this is Mother Miriam.
In normal times, an election is the moment when ordinary people can take back control of their nation's destiny. But these are not normal times. Across the globe, men and women are waking up to the alarming truth that governments no longer serve God or the people. And beloved, I'll interrupt to say myself that if President Trump gets in, it's a complete act of God. If Biden is not reelected, it is a complete act of God, because every scheme and every evil is out there that he would continue to be our president, as inept and evil as he is. At least done evil things. Those that surround him and advise him and even direct him, the devil is wise. And I would not put it past them to do anything. I know that recently someone has made a motion that no one should be able to vote who cannot prove U.S. citizenship. I totally agree with that. But there are those in the Democratic Party who do not. So we are up against not just an election, but an absolute war for good against good and evil.
That's Sister Miriam. Now, the reason why that's interesting is that it was posted by Governor Greg Abbott of Texas. He found this audio, this clip, and he thought it was important enough to air it, and he did. That's Mother Miriam of the Lamb.
Well, you know, my point earlier is the simple fact that the Democrats are taking an issue, you know, and that is abortion, and they're saying, well, you know, women... And they're using women to divide, saying women want the right to abortion, and that's the election swayer. And the reason that I'm saying that is because it's not really about whether or not all women are for abortion. What they're really doing is using that as the poster child for stealing an election. Well, you know, he lost because...
Well, to your point, in Florida, they just stood by... The new, I guess it's 15-week restriction on abortion. In Florida, it's a strong abortion law. So the first thing the Democrats do is say Florida is in play, meaning they think that the most important topic on the planet is abortion. Think about that for a second. We're talking about killing little babies. I mean, they're making it sound like that is the issue. Never mind the fact that we have millions of invaders coming into our country and causing all sorts of problems, including, by the way, in the state of Massachusetts. There's a big thing in Massachusetts today about how Maura Healey, who's the governor in that state, she's got an old veterans hospital that they're converting into an illegal sanctuary, a place
for illegals. You know what? I guess if her parents would have gotten an abortion, that wouldn't be going on.
Well, I mean,
just saying, taking their narrative and spinning it around. I mean, the point is, it shouldn't be a topic. It shouldn't be an issue.
But no, the Democrats are making it an issue. They're going to Florida, which is a key state, and they're going to hop on.
They say they're going to flip it. They say that they can flip it.
Right.
They can't flip that state. Now, what they can do is steal that state, and that's what they're going to do. Anytime they say they've got it, they're going to win it. They've already figured out how to steal it.
Well, and I was reading this morning, Bill, where Pennsylvania, there were like a handful of states that are having issues with registration. They're making it easier for people to register without an ID, okay? So one of them is the state of Pennsylvania, and I can't see. Here it is. A significant uptick has been reported in voter registrations without a photo ID in three critical swing states, Arizona, Pennsylvania, and Texas. So they're making it, and that makes it easier to get corrupt elections, pure and simple.
Once they flip a state, legally or illegally, Texas should take a damn good look at California, Massachusetts, all the New England states, New York. There's about 15, 18 states that they ought to take a look at. They're all blue states, big blue states. They're all going bankrupt.
You have to ask yourself, why is it the guys like Obama and Biden and Clinton back in the early 2000s, like 2006, stood up and said that we needed a secure border, that we had to protect our borders at all costs, and how these same people, in a matter of 15 years or so, flipped. Why did they flip? They flipped so they could pad the voter registration rolls with phony, illegal voters. I was always taught as a kid, you had to be a citizen of the United States of America to vote. Well, they're not.
Well, mandatory. There should be a deadline for registration. You have to have valid voter ID to go in and vote. It has to be done within the day of the election. You can't do this crap. Well, I'm going to do it unless it's military. Well, I'm going to do it 4 weeks before. There's some places that want you could vote now. A lot can happen between now and then, and your vote is done and cast, but there's a reason for why we had the elections the way they were. And now we want to change all of that and go third world? It's only one reason to go third world. We got some third world country leaders in this country. We've got some communists, and that's all you can say, communists or socialists running it.
Here's what they know. They know, because I know, and because a lot of people know, that by leaving the borders wide open, they've allowed tens of thousands of criminals, not just illegals, but criminals into our country. They know this as a matter of fact. For example, crime is down big time, 67% in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they shipped all their criminals to the United States. So what do you think they're going to do here? If they were causing problems in Venezuela, you sure as hell know they're going to cause problems here. I heard yesterday they have gangs in New York now, Venezuelan gangs. They literally will get on like a motor scooter or moped, and they will race through Times Square. And if they see somebody who's wearing a nice watch, they will swing up. And I saw a video of them doing this on Fox. They swing up. They jump off the motor scooter with a gun, say, "Rolex, Rolex." The guy takes off his watch. They hop back on the motorcycle and take off. That's what they're doing.
If you want to wear a nice watch, don't wear one there, or go get the Chinese knockoff in the streets of New York for $10.
No, but you see what's happening? We're already saying, okay, don't. We have to adjust our lifestyle now
to them.
To them, we've allowed corruption into our country, and now we're saying, okay, well, we really shouldn't go to a theater like between 8 and 11 anymore because it's dangerous on the streets at nighttime in New York. So stay in the house, watch TV, stay in the house. Don't go out to dinner with your wife or husband. Because it could be dangerous at 8 o'clock at night.
When did all this start happening? Was it during the Biden administration, the Trump administration, the Obama Biden administration? Well,
no, big time during the one we're in now. This guy here is just
big time now, but it was happening too under Obama.
It stopped when Trump was in office.
Yeah, it stopped. But they try to blame everything on Trump. Because he got in the way. You got in the way because you came out in mass and elected him. And I think you did in 2022. As a matter of fact, I would say I know you did.
In 2020?
I mean, 2020, yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that we're an obstacle for the left. That's why they can't stand. They try to minimize people who support Trump by calling us, ooh, those vile, disgusting MAGA people. Ooh.
But you know, it's so attractive to listen to the Bernie Sanders and the Newsoms of the world that sit there and say, 32-hour work week, can you dig it, man? 32 hours, maybe less, and we're going to raise your salary, minimum wage, man, $20 an hour.
Yeah, you know what happens? You see what happened in California?
Well, prices are up, jobs are down, automation kicks in. That was a brilliant move.
That's brilliant. They put kiosks in the fast food restaurant. So now instead of driving up and hearing, "Hi, your order please, sir," you hear, "Hi, your order please."
I was at up in Mass. I was in Worcester over the weekend.
Worcester.
Yeah, and there's a McDonald's there. It's on like Belmont Street. Anyway, the simple fact is, went in and was getting with the kid getting something to eat, and you go in, remember how they had all the registers up front?
Sure.
They have two, and they were both turned off, so you have to go to the little order kiosk.
Sure.
Now, there was a problem. People like me that really don't speak,
Spanish,
and read it, let alone, couldn't get our orders in. So we had to wait and flag somebody to come up and open up a register. You see, the English, you could pull
wait
it
a
up
second.
And get it in English.
The kiosks were in Spanish only?
They only worked in Spanish. In the English, they didn't go, you could say, I want a double cheeseburger with bacon. And then you go, next.
No Espanol.
It didn't work, It didn't work. And I was like, oh, what the hell? And then, this lady, she spoke no English. She came in and she changed the language and it went right through. And I'm sitting there, another guy and I are looking at this going, okay, let's go. And you couldn't do it in English. So I switched it over to the Spanish, had no idea what I was, looking at.
You ordered
it goes next.
Yeah,
so
burrito.
It's programmed in Spanish. Nobody back there spoke English, and, that's fine. But the simple fact is, don't you think this country that had a language should have you stick to the universal language? But they didn't. Now, the interesting thing is, my order was 159, I think. And they were on order 155, and I was sitting there going, we'll bring it to you. They said it in Spanish. I go, they stumbled through the
Sure.
thing. Go sit down, we'll bring it to you. And I kept noticing everybody was getting their stuff. So I go up, and I'm holding my ticket. It took about 15, 20 minutes to sit there and get somebody's attention. And I look at it and go, and so nothing. Another lady comes on. I'm going, what the hell's going on here? And I showed her the ticket. I said, we've been sitting over there. I've been standing.
This is in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Worcester, yeah. And all of a sudden, she goes back, and there's a fight in Espanol back there, for the workers. And they had turned off the monitor, and they were having a grand old time, caused a big commotion back there. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, geez. You know, I just wanted my
Did
burger.
You ever, now, no, you can't leave us in suspense. Did you ever get your order?
Well, yeah, we got my order. And then the people that were doing the Uber deliveries are going, yeah, they got this. This is the worst messed up thing. And, you know, even the people that were, you know, spoke the language said, yeah, it's disarray. This automation is disarray. They don't pay attention to anything.
This is, they've gone above and beyond. What they should do is the language should be English like it always has been because we're an English-speaking country historically. And they should offer as a convenience Spanish as the secondary language. They shouldn't make Spanish the primary language in an English-speaking country, in a McDonald's in Worcester.
Here's an interesting thing, and it was just a weird observation. Used to be you go to McDonald's, you always had kids there. You know, they're working there. You know, they're in school. They're getting money for college and things they want. That's usually your first job is a McDonald's fast food restaurant. You're an apprentice somewhere. You're doing stuff like that. But I saw a lot of older people, you know, I'm not even going to get into, you know, where they perceivably were from, but a lot of older people there because now there's benefits. The wages are way above minimum wage. And there are perks, too. Like there are a lot of kids, you know, going, yeah, when I'm old enough to work and I get my work permit, I'm going to go to work at McDonald's because they give you money for college.
Yeah.
Well, not you. No, this money is going to immigrants that are coming in now, and you don't have to speak the language. We'll make everybody conform to you. So, you know, we have created a nightmare in this country.
No, the left has. The left. The right has. You know, historically, folks, the right is a law-abiding group of people, of American citizens. We usually don't cause demonstrations. We usually don't speak out. We just kind of sit back and take it. But I do believe, Bill, we're getting to a point in this country that's about to change. This is just an observation from the sidelines. I think I'm starting to hear more and more people on the right getting ticked off. And I would submit that that would be a mistake for the people on the left to underestimate the size and fury of the people on the right.
They want to get us outnumbered. You know, the population.
I think if you get the right ticked off, this is what they would. The other thing is this, Bill. Do they want a civil war? You know, that movie, by the way, Civil War, the other.
Comes out.
It's coming out this month. Which And people say they're precursors, these movies. If you remember the one that Obama produced a couple, three months ago. What was it called? I forgot the name of the movie. But anyway, Leave the World Behind. Very good. There was a scene in there where a ship. What was taken control of by, you know, some remote.
Now, it's funny you should talk about that ship because, you know, the left is going, you know, somebody posted on our show, where I posted it. They said, oh, it's just a guess, but it was an accident. I'm sitting there going, you know, maybe it was.
Good.
But maybe it wasn't. Maybe we should, like any other, it was just an accident. Maybe we should investigate it. Now, it is funny because did you know that the crew, the captain and the main crew of that ship were not on the ship when it ran into the bridge?
There's a lot of things I don't know about that ship.
Apparently, they were taken off the ship because it's a standard thing. They were off the ship.
Well, they had a harbor pilot in control? Is that what?
No, apparently it was this is actually Laura Logan that has a report on it, but the point is, they were at Wally World. They went to Walmart.
I thought that was the day before.
Either way, apparently they weren't on. They're saying that they were gone. You know, I don't know if they were or not, but there was a problem.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I saw the video of the accident, which you did too, and I saw the lights go off, the lights go back on. I saw the lights go off again, and I saw the lights come back on, and then I saw the ship turn directly into the support structure on the bridge. It didn't try to avoid it. It didn't try to narrowly miss it. It turned in. It was like he lined it up to nail that thing. Now, people may say, oh, you're making a lot of this.
Okay.
No, I think there's more to this than we're being told.
Okay, there's video. There is the fact the ship was out of the channel. There is the fact, well, was the crew on or off the ship the day before, the day of, or what? There's questions, and it could be a tragic accident. But then again, we'll never know if we don't investigate it.
Yesterday,
there's nothing to see here. Let's just move along.
Yesterday they said they now have a temporary 11-foot channel that they've dug. They've cleared the debris. So, and I'm thinking to myself, most ships have a much deeper draft than 11 feet. I mean, you're not going to get a cruise liner into Baltimore Harbor.
No, I think the 11 feet is basically for work ships to come
yeah,
in.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're saying that, you know, they're trying to show that this is going to be in record time. And I'm sure that Joe's going to go down there and do a big positive speech on himself and Pete Buttigieg and what a disaster Trump was. You know, that he's going to do that probably this Friday, maybe tomorrow.
I know he said he's going to go down. I don't know exactly what he's going to do.
He should go down and out of the White House.
Yeah, but he's going to be doing it on the way to probably Friday, because he'll probably be on the way to his vacation retreat in Delaware. But there's a lot we don't know about this. I do think that there was more to it. I do think, like Laura Logan and some of her experts say, that it was an attack on our infrastructure, that it was intentional. And that's not me saying it. Those are people who work in our intelligence now who told Laura Logan this. But
well, it'll be interesting to see. I wouldn't take the face value of the news. Face value of the news is doing everything it can to villainize Trump. They're trying to.
And what's amazing, Bill? You know, we said this a couple of days ago. I find it absolutely amazing that they'll take a story like the one with the bridge and the ship, and it'll be the biggest news story in the world for about 20 seconds. And then the news, our news media right now has the attention span of a gnat. They will then all of a sudden, they'll drift away into watching something else, like a dog that has been distracted by a squirrel, and they will forget that the bridge even existed. There was a time when I was a younger man when they would have set up camera crews at the bridge. They would have had reports on a daily basis on what's going on. Now it's like an afterthought. You know, it's like oh yeah, and the bridge, they cleared a channel yesterday in that big bridge. In the meantime, we have one of the largest ports in our country that is paralyzed, continues to be paralyzed, and it's like, oh, don't worry about it. Nothing to see here. I heard somebody say, well, we're moving a lot of our ships to Savannah because it's another big port. Well, that doesn't do a damn thing for the 43 ships that are stuck in Baltimore Harbor, you know? This is the left's mentality. If you control the media, and Bill, they control the media in this country big time.
They control the media. They control the elections. They own the post office. They own all, and they're going, no, Bill, you're crazy. No, they do.
They do. They do. As a matter of fact, that's why they fear Trump. That's why they're trying desperately not to get a conviction. They want him in jail. They want Trump in jail because...
Well, they're going after Truth Social now, the merger.
Oh, they're going to do anything and everything they can. And by they've proven that they... You know, there was a time when they tried to be subtle about their moves. They tried to be secretive about their moves. They didn't want to be obvious that they were attacking. Well, now they don't give a damn anymore. Now, you know, Letitia James, you heard about Marchand, that judge that's up next. His daughter runs an organization based in Chicago that funds all of these far-left progressive candidates.
Yeah. You know,
Adam Schiff is one of them. And she made $93 million, $93 million since her father was assigned the Trump case. She has used that as a marketing piece to get people to contribute to her organization. I heard yesterday Joe DiGenova talking about on Newsmax about the massive conflict of interest. This judge should be recusing himself instantaneously. There should never be any doubt about it. But the left doesn't give a damn anymore. See, that's they don't care who knows or what they think. They're going to be overtly and obviously anti-Trump and then try to tell the world that they're actually doing something with justice. They're doing they're performing an act of justice, and that's
bull. Lot of the Democrat left, the voters are sitting there going, the hate has been built in them so much. They don't know why they hate the guy. They know why they were told to hate the guy, and that's why they hate him, and they're going to do whatever it is at any cost, even if it's at your cost, and even theirs to a degree. They'll sink the ship, you know, before they, you know.
That's it goes to this election in 2024. I mean, we're just months away now. I mean, literally, we're just months away. We're less than a year away from our new inaugural celebration in January. I mean, think about that. Less than a year. We are at a point now where it's crunch time for this election, and the left is getting nervous because Trump, everywhere he goes, he draws massive crowds. But he did that before. Well, he did that in 2020.
The left is guilty of, in a roundabout way, and if you're part of the left and you hate Trump, then you hate Donald Trump, you hate his sons, you hate his family, you hate his wife, you hate generations of Trumps going back and going forward. You're a genocide, you know, you're involved in genocide. You want to take out that entire family because you don't like Donald.
Well, they don't just like Donald. They don't like us. They don't like supporters.
Well, that'll be the next part of the
genocide. I'll give you an example. Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson went to St. George's Prep School in Newport. It's actually in Middletown, and I'm very familiar with it. I grew up not far from there. I've been by it many, many times. It's a beautiful campus. It should be a college. It's so pretty, and it's right up the road from some of the most beautiful beaches in New England, and it's really a show place, and it's a good school. I believe it's an Episcopalian-based school, and it's been a good school for decades. Tucker Carlson went there, and his kids went there. I guess he said three of his kids went there. Well, one of the students at the school requested that he speak at the school, and the school, because a lot of schools are this way now, they said, no, it's not a very good idea. We think it'll cause a problem, commotion, and we don't think it's good that you speak. And Tucker said, well, what do you mean? Why is it that you don't want me to speak at a school that I went to and three of my kids went to? Well, they had a whole litany of excuses until finally they said, well, we think that your presence may cause somebody to be harmed, physically harmed, or maybe even killed, and we don't want that on our campus. They couldn't think of a great excuse. The real excuse is that the left owns the educational system in our country, both private and public, and they don't want differing opinions to be presented to the young minds of our society. So they didn't want to have Tucker beat it because technology wins the day. He did a Zoom call with the students at St. George's, and he was able to communicate with them, albeit via computer. But the message got across, you know. But they make themselves look to be fools, the left, for doing something to not being open, not being welcoming to both sides of an idea or a message. And they do this all the time. I have grandchildren who are in college, and I will not talk politics with my grandchildren because as much as I adore them and I love them, I know that they've been in that whole system for years, and it's not until they get out into the real world and start to experience honest-to-goodness life, when they start paying their own bills, buying their own homes, having their own property, paying their own taxes, that this, that's the education they really will need. That's the valuable education that will waken them up, I believe, because they are intelligent, very intelligent people. It's just that they've been inundated with all of this propaganda from one side, do you know? Mm-hmm. And it's the way the school system works. And like I said, I love them dearly. And I'm sure if you probably talk to them now and they know that I do the podcast, they say, "Oh, we love Grandpa, but he's a little nuts." You know, you know, because
no, they don't say a little; they say a lot.
A lot, but, you know. Exactly, exactly. Anyway, I want to play this, Bill.
Sure.
I think every so often it's important that we stop for a second and realize where we are in the world right now. Paul Harvey did a report back in 1965.
I were the devil.
Yeah. If you were paying attention, you probably have heard it before in this show. I got a better copy of it. The one that we had before, the guy had music behind it, and it was ridiculous. But this is how it went back in 1965. Tell me this guy wasn't prophetic. I mean, this is an amazing piece of journalism. The late, great Paul Harvey.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it, until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Now think about that for a second. That was 1965. Some of the younger people in the audience may be saying, well, what's so special about this? Understand. In 1965, exactly, none of that was happening. Whole states would promote gambling, right? 1965, they didn't do that. We had no lotteries in 1965. We didn't have Powerball, Mega Millions, all these things.
I was going to say, what's going on tonight? The Powerball. Get rich quick, you know. Let's go buy a lottery ticket for $2. Oh, let's buy a multiplier. You know, hey, you know what? You never know. You could be the winner.
Look, I bought a ticket, all right? I bought three tickets. The odds of me winning, I always think of it as a donation to senior citizen charities in my state, because supposedly
starving disc jockey benevolent. Yeah, I know. I've donated to that too.
But I mean, the fact of the matter is, all the things he was talking about, social diseases, they didn't talk about that in 1965. If you remember, it was the era of free love, man. Hey, man, let's go to Woodstock, you know, and we can make love in the field, you know, with anybody
Sunday.
We want.
Observation on Easter Sunday. So, you know, over and doing a family dinner thing, and somebody said, well, I got to go out and get something. And the stores aren't open. No, there's nothing open. Only the necessities in life. You couldn't go to a store. Liquor stores were closed. Good thing. Liquor stores were closed. You could get gas. Oh, I remember what else was open.
Lottery tickets. You get lottery tickets.
At the filling station.
Yeah.
Because they have the convenience store.
Yeah.
But one other thing was open. The cannabis place where you could go get weed.
Well, that was for medicinal purposes only.
But, you know, you think about it. Weed has become basically legal. You know, they're not gonna do you for anything on that now, and the gummies and all of that crap. So a stoned America is a willing to be led along America.
The reason why it's so important to play that every so often is that he goes through a litany of different things, and a lot of young people would say, I don't hear anything special about that. But believe me, if you were around in 1965, everything he talks about is special. Everything that he talks about is something that has happened in this country. You know, social diseases. We had, you know, we lived through the era of AIDS. Before they had a cure for AIDS, when it was a devastating, deadly disease, we lived through it. You know, again, we lived through the era of free love. Hey, man, you know, sex was not something which was sacrosanct at one time. Back in the late 60s, early 70s, it was like a casual thing, you know, because we'd become so decadent in so many ways, you know. And now if you look around, like we talked about the lottery, you know, the governments are promoting lottery. There's a time when they'd put you in jail for doing that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the mobsters had what was it called? It was the numbers game. And as a matter of fact, most people who were involved with the numbers, you know, they participated in the numbers game. They will tell you that the mob ran it better than the state. You know, there was actually more of a chance to win with the numbers game that the mob ran as opposed to the numbers game that the state runs.
And you go to the table. If you count cards, you can count cards. And you know, I've known people that can.
Sure.
And if they see you and they watch your eyes, they have people that know how to do it, and they sit there and they'll watch you. And if they see you doing that, all of a sudden a guy in a suit comes up and goes, hey, we need to talk to you for a little while.
Yeah.
And that is a felonious offense, because you're screwing them out of money because you know how the system works. You know, they're supposed to steal from you. You're not from them.
That's true. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of young people. There was, I believe, somebody from Massachusetts or Rhode Island, students who went down to Vegas or Atlantic City, and they would do it on a regular basis. That they even made a movie out of it, because they would go down on the weekend and they would come home with like hundreds of thousands of dollars in winnings, because one or two of the people were like math geniuses. They could literally sit at the table and tell you who had what in their hand and what they were going to do next. And they would,
and watching cards, counting, and probability. I got a daughter that does that. I have an old boss that does that. We went on a cruise one time, and he goes, I got $30, but don't worry, I'm going to have a few thousand by the end of the night. And he sure as hell did. And I'm going, Steve, what are you doing? He goes, you know, it's a trick that I could teach you how to do, you know. And I'm like going,
well, not everybody. No, couldn't teach me.
No, couldn't teach me either. So
I haven't got that gift. But you, like you said, the casinos, they would walk over with a couple of their security personnel, in quotes, and they would say, Mr. Knight, if you would come with us, please. The general manager would like to have a conversation with you.
We're going to have you fitted for some concrete slippers here on the boat.
Well, the first time they usually say, thank you for participating, but you have to leave, you know. And that would be it. If you come back, and they keep you, you become a target. By the way, nobody has better visual security than the casinos. They got cameras everywhere. And not only do they have cameras, but they have they can ID people, facial recognition.
Visual recognition. Yeah.
And so anyway, I'm glad I played that. Paul Harvey, it's something to think about.
Without the music in the background, you can kind of listen and keep track of it better and say, well, wait a minute now. But yeah, he used to re-air that a lot, too.
Oh, yeah. That is something that it should be replayed over and over again because people, they don't realize how unique the time is that we're living in and how dangerous the time is that we're living in. We are on the verge of something. I hear somebody that I listen to on a podcast who is convinced we're on the absolute edge of World War III. He thinks it's inevitable. He thinks that we're just careening down that path. The Ukraine, you know what they did over the weekend? They attacked some of the utility systems in the Ukraine, and they
and
said
it's bad news for them.
They'll be out without their power for months because it wasn't like they just took the lines and cut them. They destroyed generating systems, and now we have the Taiwan situation. Bill, there's not going to be a better time ever for China to take over Taiwan than the next 8 or 9 months because if they get Trump in there, he's going to be a deterrent. He's going to stand in their way. He's going to give them more grief than they need.
How about the next 2 or 3 weeks?
Well, Bill, there's some people who believe that's going to happen, especially, we had the 7.5 earthquake, and they're reeling over that. That happened yesterday, and they're reeling over that earthquake. Maybe China figures there's never been a better time to go in than right now, when they got their hands full, when they're distracted,
You never know.
Anyway, other things that happened, I want to make sure I cover these things before. Did you see where the New York State Department of Corrections has issued a lockdown order for all inmates on April the 8th due to the upcoming total solar eclipse?
Now, why? New York is not in the path of a total eclipse.
Listen, there are some people who are saying that the eclipse is going to cause all sorts of technical issues, computers, internet, power. I don't know how it's going to do that. It's just a matter of is it the moon going in front of the sun?
The moon hits the sky like
big pizza pie. Yes, that's amore.
That's amore. Yeah. Boom, boom, out go the lights. Which actually is not a good song to play. It's about wife beating. But that's
great. I'm not familiar with that one, Bill, but that must have been a country song that you played on one of your.
No, actually, that was a R&B blues song. Oh. And then Pat Travers, a rocker, redid it. It became a party song because, when he goes boom, boom, everybody would go, out go the lights. It was a party anthem. Not really thinking about what it was about.
I didn't go to the same kind of parties you went to.
I didn't go to the party. I was probably
home mowing the lawn or something.
There you go.
Boom,
boom, down go to grass.
I can't tell you why New York is going to have a lockdown. It doesn't make sense. They don't give an answer. They don't answer the question, but they're going to lock down. So if you're a prisoner in New York State on April the 8th, don't expect to leave your cell on that day. They're going to, now maybe they figure there's going to be maybe the systems work in such a way that when there's a technical snafu, they can't get the cells to lock. I don't know. So maybe they figure if they're already in the cells, they're locked down, and that's
if I were going to hypothesize, on that, there's a thing that a police officer will tell you. When there's a full moon, the tides of the earth, there's something that goes on with the way, like the tides change. Well, and, you know, there's the gravitational pull that has something to do. The fluid. Wackos come out. The fluid's in your brain.
The fluid in your brain, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that.
So that could be maybe what they're going, you know, these, you think they're crazy now? Just wait until you have that going.
Many of the doctors and the nurses that I know will tell you that, yeah, emergency room is packed when it's a full moon. So you're right. I just thought that was interesting. Be aware of that. Also, Trump won Rhode Island, Delaware, Wisconsin, and Connecticut, and New York yesterday. Mm-hmm. They had primaries in those five states. New York, Rhode Island, Delaware, Wisconsin, and Connecticut. Not that he needed them.
And nobody's talking about it but, well, Jim and Bill.
Exactly. He didn't need them except that he got, like, what, he got 90-some delegates in New York. And, I mean, it's just going to make his path to the White House even more interesting.
Now, doesn't he at some point in time have to name his candidate that's going to run with him? I know he's stretching it out as long as he can, and I would too.
You know, my wife and I were talking about that over the weekend. Who's he going to pick as a vice presidential candidate? And I can't pick the person out. I've thought about it. I think there are some people who would be good. I've heard Tim Scott mentioned. I think that would be a mistake. I don't think he is the person for the position, because I think you need somebody who is more dynamic in front of a camera. More.
Well, Kennedy picked his, and I'm not sure about the lady.
Name. He picked somebody who was
really left,
incredibly wealthy. Her ex-husband was one of the founders of Google, and they're worth billions of dollars. So she. What he did was he bought funding for his campaign.
Yeah, and he even sat there and said, well, you know, I think she just made some bad choices. Then you made a bad choice, and you should have never picked her to begin with. But then he was spewing that, well, you know, you have to have your running mate because, I forget what it was, but there's something that you have to do for your campaign to be official and everything going on. I thought, well, that's interesting. Trump probably knows that, and he's going to stretch that down to the wire, but there's probably some technicality.
We live in a media environment, and I think personally, in my own humble opinion, a terrific vice presidential choice for Trump would be Carrie Lake. She is totally at home in front of a camera. She's an attractive person. She's very smart, very intelligent. Some people will say, well, she hasn't got a long track record of political success. Hey, she's only run once, and a lot of people would believe that she had her election stolen, too. But that's neither here nor there. That's history.
Well, you know, the left wants to know because they want to have time to really tear him apart and attack him and everything. So they're attacking everybody now that's even a potential. Don't be surprised if he brings in somebody that nobody has talked about.
Vivek Ramaswamy would be a good choice in that.
But eyes are on him, too.
But he's a very articulate guy. He thinks quickly on his feet. He would appeal to the younger voters. He's in his 30s. He might be good. Now, some people say, I know as a matter of fact, I've heard people say, well, he's connected to Soros. The only connection he has is when he was going to school, he actually got a scholarship from George Soros' brother. I think his name is Paul. And that was the connection with Soros. I would probably submit that a lot of people got scholarships from Paul Soros, but whether or not...
And there's probably a lot of us that have connections that we don't even know about because of their money going to a lot of places.
Yeah, that's a good point. Absolutely. Hey, I think we've just about done it, my friend. Anything else you want to add before we wrap this up?
I got a notepad full, but you know what? All this stuff can wait until tomorrow, because the clock.
Yeah,
we've run out of time. It even stopped ticking, going, hey, I'm done. You know,
I'm finished. 833-538-7868 is our number. 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com. Mail at jimandbill.com. jimandbill@mail.com.
Okay, and with that, I think we can put a fork in it. We're done. With that, all we have to do is your standard out.
The standard out, which would be hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.